gather here. Welcome to His Stories Broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify.
Well, welcome to His Stories Broadcast. It's another great day to have you here, and it is, it's a pleasure, it's an honor, it's a pleasure to be before our Lord as well as we come here this morning, and we have a great guest, and it's a continuation, but I'll let Gil introduce our guest this morning. But before he does that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we just give you praise. We thank you on how you are changing lives. And that it is evidence, it is true evidence as to your love for us, your caring for us, and just your nature of who you are, Lord God, that you care about the very minute details, and you care for us as your children. Lord, we thank you. I ask that you would just be here with this conversation, that you would be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Hey, Gil.
Hey, Kevin.
How's your world today?
It is good. I'm a little more dressed up today because I have a meeting at the bank a little bit later. But, you know, man, it's been good. It's been good. Been a good summer. Thank you. Yeah. I look good for radio.
Yeah, there you go.
But, yeah, it's been good. How you doing?
Life is pretty good.
Yeah?
I really am a blessed man, to say the least.
Good.
And I don't deserve to be as blessed as I am.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Who does?
Right? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, without further ado, hey, we do have a great guest who is back.
Yeah.
You may remember the last broadcast or broadcast or two ago where we had Mike Lomax on our show. And I think we said at least four or five times, but that's for another show.
Yeah.
And so to accommodate, we got another show. We have Mike on because his testimony is so multifaceted and in so many levels. We had to have him back to get the complete story. We had skimmed over so many things. I mean, his marriage, his family, his upbringing, his business, ministry. And so we have him back for a second time. We don't do this often, but we had to do this with Mike Lomax. So, Mike, welcome back to the show.
Hey, welcome back, Gil and Kevin. Good to see you guys again.
Thank you. Thank you. Right. Good to see you as well. Yeah. You know, last time in the last broadcast, there were so many aspects of your testimony that because of time, we had to kind of go through. And many of you, if you can go back and actually listen to the podcast online. Yeah, it's right. Available. But just a quick recap, you talked about how you grew up in Baltimore and what you experienced and your stint with drugs and what have you and your marriage, how you divorced and got back. One of those things that you did talk about, though, was your relationship with your father. It was very strained growing up and you experienced some pain in your family, but you were able to reconcile with your dad. If we could just pick things up there, maybe you can share a little bit, from that point.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things. Let me backtrack just a couple seconds. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that I let people know that we didn't know we were going to do the second show, so I was kind of rushing. But I always want to give credit where credit and honor where honor is due. And I said it kind of fast, but you know, my uncle, his name is Darrell Phillips, that actually took me in, and actually, like you say, picked me up, dusted me off, and he was very integral part of me being where I am today, and
sure.
he led me to the Lord, and he's actually taken two of my older brothers in since then,
so
I just want to give him credit, and as well as my bishop that I got saved under, Bishop Pratt in Springfield, Ohio. So they were very vital in, getting the word in me and helping me get to where I am, and so I just want to give them credit, as well as all my aunts and uncles back in Baltimore. When Kevin was asking me when he thought that I was in a foster system, well, no, these were just my living and breathing aunts and uncles, Sheila, Michelle, Rhonda, Audrey, all of them, I can't name them all, but they all just kind of pitched in and just did what they needed to do to kind of help us. It was five teenage boys, you got to realize they were in their early 30s and some of them late 20s.
Amen. Yeah, definitely good to give credit where credit is due. So, yeah, thank you for saying that.
Yeah. But it's interesting you should say that because the thing with my father was another part that I skipped over real fast was, you know, that that came after years of just learning what forgiveness is and years. And as you guys know, forgiveness, it comes with a price, you know. Yeah. And when I say with a price, it means that, you know, I had to in order to forgive him, there was other relationships that were, I wouldn't say the loss, but it definitely strained them, you know, because everybody didn't have the forgiveness that I had, you know. And so, but really the reason I was able to forgive him, because when I was talking about my childhood and we had fun, was because even in the midst of all the things that my mom was going through, she always taught us love. And she would never, even though everyone would, you know, some of the people around her would hate, you know, what my father was doing to us, she would never allow us, you know, to speak, you know, negative about him, and she would always try to find the good in him.
Wow.
And so when this actually happened, and for me to, when he took her life, and for me to actually struggle with hating him as opposed to knowing what she taught me, you know, that was a struggle, and that was part of one of the reasons why I was kind of battling within, because I had these feelings of, you know, hey, you know, that's my dad, I love my dad, you know, and I was some people that actually hated him, you know, and so, but I never hated him, you know, and so, but like I said, it strained some relationships, and most of them are, you know, we're back to where I believe we should be. But I just want to share the fact that, you know, my childhood being good was because of my mom, Bernadette. She actually instilled some stuff in us. And she wasn't a church-going woman, but for the Lord just gave her just a love, you know, that never left, you know.
Mm-hmm. And so how was your relationship with your father, and how did what exactly did happen with you and your dad? How did that happen? How did you guys reconcile?
Well, after my dad, you know, he eventually turned himself in and went to prison. And after he during the time he was in prison, he began to reach out to us and try to reconcile. And and we always had contact with his family, you know. And so eventually, you know, we went to see him. And, you know, I can't remember exactly when, but once he got out, you know, he just began, just a long road of reconciliation, you know. And you know, he's not a very intimate person, you know, he's not, you know, like most dads, he's not touchy-feely and stuff like that, you know, but his way of showing that he cared for us was like just kind of helping us work and teaching us, you know, how to, you know, work and things of that nature, you know. Yeah. And so that's how that road came back with me and him, you know.
I'm always curious and amazed at how reconciliation and forgiveness happens. And it many times can be a long process. But it just amazes me how, even though, like you say, your mom wasn't particularly a Christian in that regard or what have you, or a church-going woman, as you say, you know, she still was able to instill that characteristic of you don't hate your father, you don't speak bad about him, even though she was going through what she was going through with domestic, you know, violence and what have you. It just amazes me, you know, to see how people go through the path of forgiveness and healing, so... That's awesome.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. With the act of forgiveness and the fact that you've have stated that you've come to know the Lord, would it have been possible without that deep knowledge of who, you know, of the Lord being born again? Would have been possible then, you know, even though your dad was reaching out to you. Is that correct? That your dad from prison was reaching to you? Is that what I heard? Or
yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Even though he's doing that, obviously you've got family that's strained, from that from the act that took place between your dad and your mom. Do you see that? How does that work with your relationship with Christ, and then your forgiveness of your dad? Do you feel like the Holy Spirit was prompting you in that area to forgive your dad? Because there's some deep wounds that would come from that, I would imagine. I wasn't there. I wasn't a part of that, obviously. But just if you could reflect on that. I know that's maybe digging up some some hard things, but does any of that make sense to ask you that question?
Yeah, absolutely. I now know that because I've seen others in other situations, and even our situation, that want to forgive or have what we would say kind of let it go or whatever. But, I heard someone say that, you know, when God truly forgives, he treats you as if it hadn't happened, you know. So it's like you're not always holding something over their head, or you're not, you cannot always go back to this, even though it was very real. And that that took a process, you know, but in the back of my mind, it was always still, I remembered, you know, even before the actual, he took her life, you know, just the beatings and stuff, you know. Yeah. And so, but that's where the difference was when I really realized that, you know, I had forgiven him. It's like I didn't forget that it happened, but right. It was as if it, like, our relationship continued, and he was the dad to me. I was his son, and it was like, you know, I didn't look at him in the light that mm-hmm. others may have saw him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that was hard for others, you know, because, you know, they can always remember that, you know. And I say this, you know how the court say, you know, you should tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The whole truth, the fact of the matter is, you can't, certain people will not never feel what we felt, as even my older two brothers, you know, they were never harsh or mean towards him or anything like that. But because they weren't his biological children, mm-hmm. it's still something different when you're actually, you know, blood related to people that a lot of people didn't really, I had to understand where they were coming from, and I had to let them stay, you know, in the space they were at, but I had to understand that this is very real to me, and I totally forgive them. And so, you know, like I said, it cost some relationships, you know, in the beginning. It really did. You know, and part of that is why I was stayed in the addiction state. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, in the end, you know, I gained relationships with people that knew what true forgiveness was and realized mm-hmm. that we all mm-hmm. are in a state that we need.
Yeah. And let me ask you, was there a certain freedom? Because I've talked to other people who have forgiven people who've done them totally injustice. How did that affect you when you were able to forgive your father?
Yeah, that's the key word right there. It's, you know, you hear it saying so much, it's like a cliche, but forgiveness is for the other person more than it's for you more than for the other person. But it really was a freedom when I did that, because, you know, the closer I became to Christ, the more I began to see that, you know, no, I never, you know, I wasn't in, you know, physically abusive, you know, for the most part. You know, we had little spats, whatever, my little girlfriends and stuff, you know, but, you know, I didn't do what he did or whatever, but I was in such need of forgiveness. I did some horrible things, you know, back, you know, in my, you know, in my unsaved days. And so no matter what, even if I didn't do anything, I still was in need of forgiveness, you know. And so, you know, it was a journey. But I thank God. I don't thank God for what happened. I thank God the lesson that I learned. Mm. And then now I'm able to share. Like, even when I we'll talk about that a little later, about as far as about going into the prison. But it's such a vital part of, you know, the message, you know, the Lord gives me even when I go into the prison, because there's so much unforgiveness, you know, with the gentleman there and there, you know.
Right. Wow.
Well, hey, we are talking with Mike Lomax, if you've just joined us. And we're cleaning up all the multiple testimonies that he started sharing in the last broadcast. And we've just talked about the forgiveness, but we're also going to jump in. We're going to take a commercial break. But when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what God did in his marriage, which he skimmed over last time as well. We're going to talk a little bit, hopefully, about what you've been doing as far as prison ministry and the fact that he has now a thriving trucking business as well. So we'll be right back after this break.
So let me ask you. Who is doing the bookkeeping and payroll for your church? Is it the pastor or a very worn-out volunteer? Why not contact the experts at churchaccountingservices.com? We work within your schedule to make sure these important financial tasks are taken care of at a price you can afford and with no fuss. So contact us today at churchaccountingservices.com.
Attention all contractors, property owners, and construction managers. Are you looking for an environmentally friendly demolition service that will save you money while providing jobs to those in need? Then look no further. Jenka Services keeps you conscious while employing and training people who need jobs. We also offer finishing services like drywall installation and site prep work. So call Jenka Services today at 574-520-0225 and receive a free quote for your project.
All right, and we are back with our special guest, Mike Lomax, and we've been hearing different aspects of his testimony and what God has been doing in his life. He just talked to us about his relationship with his dad, but there's one thing we did not get to really fully delve into last time that you were here, Mike, is, you know, you kind of were like, yeah, me and my wife, we were married, and then we divorced, and then we got back, and God brought us back together. Anyway, it was like, wait, And so we'd like to hear a little bit more about how that happened and how exactly you and your wife got back together.
Amen. Yeah, and that's a so be it.
Yeah,
I should have said a Selah. But and that's a unique story. And I always say this when I go into the prison. You know, because of course, if you're in prison, a lot of guys, you know, went through what I went through, which mine happened before prison. Is you know, they either lose their marriage or girlfriends or whatever, you know. And so when I give my, at first I didn't use wisdom when I would give my testimony, you know, about, you know, our reconciliation, guys would take that and run, you know, and the Lord began to show me that, you know, our situation was unique. And, you know, I know some couples now that are remarried that are, that, it, you know, I believe that this is the best thing for them, you know. And so it, sometimes, no, not remarried, that are married to other people and have divorced and married to other people. One of my good friends, you know, him and his wife have a blended family, and it's just a beautiful thing, you know. And so, but what I would always do, with not using wisdom, was that when I would give that testimony, guys would just base, you know, because a lot of them weren't skilled in the word and learn how to hear from the Spirit for their own selves. So they would take that and bombard, every time I come in, they were bombarding their exes or their ex-wives or whatever, or, you know, for reconciliation, and it just wasn't happening, you know. And so I always say that, you know, with what happened with my situation is unique, and I believe it can happen with any situation if both parties are willing, you know. And so what happened was, you know, the Lord just began to work on our heart. I just never really had a desire to be with anyone else. Once, I really wanted to reconcile with my own wife. I wanted to have, like I was telling you, I have a lot of friends and family members that have, you know, multiple kids by multiple women and all those type of things. And I'm not, that's not necessarily a sin within itself. And I'm not knocking that, but I just always wanted all minds to be together up on the one roof and things like that and raised. And so anyway, the Lord began to work on us and work on our heart. And I can't even really take any credit for it. You know, I just know that, you know, all the tactics and things I was using wasn't working. So I just left it alone and just began to really seek out the Lord for myself. And it was almost, I used this testimony in the financial side. But I remember when I used to work at this particular job, it was actually a temporary agency, and we worked our butts off. And it was like Fridays, maybe it was Thursday, but at the end of the week when we went to go get our checks, it's like everybody had to wait outside the door. And it was like every minute, every time somebody comes, the check's ready. No, checks ain't ready yet. You know, it's like it was like a struggle to get our money, you know. And then I remember working at a place where, you know, we'd be working. It was a glass place, as a matter of fact, you know. And literally, they would come around and tap you on your shoulder with your check, you know. And say, hey, you know, and, you know, so just like it was, that's how it was. It was just like, you know, I just stayed busy doing what I was doing, and the guy would come around, hey, Lomax, here's your check, you know. And that's so much better than, you know, you having to stand outside and kind of beg somebody for your check that you would, you know. Yeah. And so that's kind of how my marriage went, you know. It was like, you know, the Lord tapped me and said, oh, by the way, here's your wife, you know. You know?
So, you know, I like that.
But she'll have to give you her side of it.
Okay.
Amen. Well, cool. So now God is restoring relationships, forgiveness with your dad, restoring your marriage with your wife, Coco. And then now you said this too when I talked to you. It was like, oh, man, God has done so much. Man, I went from being homeless to having my own trucking company with three trucks. I went, wait, what? Right, so how did that happen? You talk about working in a glass factory. Yeah, a temp agency. Yeah. How did you go from being homeless to now having your own trucking company?
Well, one of the things, my dad and his family has always been into trucking. I have an uncle, which a lot of people think he helped me. Actually, he didn't. He did not. Not that he wouldn't, but, you know, I always say, you know, don't give me something. Just show me how you got it. Mm-hmm. You know, I have been a truck driver, you know. And so, long story short, let me correct. It's not thriving right now. I have three trucks. Two are sitting. I'm the only driver right now. When we took that move over here to go to the autism school and all that, I lost my two drivers over there. But the testimony in that is that, you know, we are still living on the same level. We haven't lost anything, you know, because with the drivers, you know, they were tearing up trucks and stuff like that. You know, so, but I haven't got rid of them. I still have two other trucks. And I believe once I get really settled and stable here spiritually or whatever, then I'm going to go work on that side of it, you know. But so, you know, that's a good thing about a guy taught me about, you know, ownership and you know, as far as, that's a whole other story about being when you do it, be debt free or whatever. So I own the trucks. I don't have to rush to do that. But anyway, long story short, I've always drove trucks, you know. And then as I was driving, you know, I just began to talk to guys that own trucks, you know, and kind of, you know. And so I just started saving my money. And I had a cousin in Baltimore that he owns quite a few trucks. And my first truck right about 10 years ago, you know, he let me get him half down and work off the rest, you know. So, wow. You know, wow. But that I went out there. I didn't know the business that well, and I flopped.
Yeah.
Flopped,
yeah.
Went into bankruptcy,
yeah.
And that, you know, hurt the family. And mm. and so it, you know, that, and I'll say this, but if God puts a dream in your heart, and it took a couple of years before I yeah. went back out again.
Yeah.
And I eventually sold that truck, went back to drive for other people, and I feel like my dream was gone, you know. Mm-hmm. But God kept that dream inside of me, and eventually I went back out, and he said, but this time when I want you to go out, I want you to owe no man nothing, you mm-hmm. know. And so we just saved, and we saved. And my wife was in agreeance, you know. She was a little shaky the first time,
sure.
you know. So when we went out, we bought it cash, mm-hmm. and we did everything cash. And even as we grow, you know, every time I bought another truck, you know, we bought it cash. You know, we didn't go out and get it on credit. You know, I'm not knocking anyone that does anything right. on credit, you know, because I'm not saying I don't do things on credit. But that particular part of the business, he said, I want you to own it, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, and so that was a testimony. And, you know, but I'm careful when I say this, because a lot of people are really strange about when it comes down to finances and giving and stuff like that. You know, my grandmother used to say, this is not spiritual. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
You mm-hmm. know, yes, there's a lot of people that abuse giving and this, that, but I was always a giver. The Lord always showed me just to give, and just wherever he told me to give, and just to be a blessing, you know, not religiously or whatever, you know, just have the heart of giving, you know. And we just seen it displayed just this morning, you know. And you know what, you know, and so it was like I was telling about the tapping on the shoulder. It was like the Lord just said, you know, now let me give you the desires of your heart. You mm. know, we talk about the desires of the Lord's heart. But if you're in tune with the Lord and you have a desire, then it's a godly desire.
Yeah. Right.
You know.
Right.
So anyway. Yeah. And so my desire was I wanted to have trucks and I didn't want to owe nobody, you know. Yeah. And so
that's huge.
You know, yeah. even down to my pickup, you know, that's mm-hmm. a whole other story. You know? always wanted a pickup.
Mike is setting up for about an eight show series.
But that's awesome. Man, that is awesome. Here. Now, you did allude earlier that you were involved in prison ministry. And when you go into the prison and share with the guys, could you talk a little bit about that in a few minutes that we have left? Kind of share about, because you were in prison and you had a desire to go back into the prison to minister to the men that are in there. How's that been, and what was your involvement with prison ministry?
Oh, okay. That's a probably the lifeblood of what I do. To say it in the shortest definition, I accidentally came across a man that had a halfway house, Ben Berry, over in Gary, Indiana. And he was connected with Prison Fellowship. And so I used to go into his halfway. They used to have classes on Thursday night. We used to go into the halfway house, and he would let me speak. And sometimes it was just a general Bible study with the men, you know. And so he had Dick and Sue Brooks, who are the leaders of Prison Fellowship, mm-hmm. come in. Well, he told me about them, and so he connected us, and I started going into Prison Fellowship just basically for the seminar, every now and then on a Monday nights. And, man, it was just it was just awesome. The Lord just, like, it was nothing. They had a script that the general theme was about, but then we would break into groups.
Mm-hmm.
And when we would break into groups, it was like the guys would just pull on me. Mm-hmm. And the Lord would just give me just mm-hmm. so much for them, you know. And then that's when I realized that, you know, this is where the Lord wants me to function, you know, because it's just amazing how, you know, the Lord just pulled things. Like I said, I gave my testimony. I had to tweak it, you know. You know,
how much to share, what
yeah,
to share,
right? Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. You know. And so that's the thing that I'm most passionate about is about, you know, prison fellowship. Not necessarily because of the guys who are in prison, but because, you know, we say this saying, you know, there's a lot of people that are in bondage that aren't behind the walls.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and I see so many guys in there, man. You know, some of them don't even know when they got joy, they're happy, and they really have it. And we see so many people out here that are in, you know, in our buildings and in our churches mm-hmm. and just religiously that are just bound, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I mm-hmm. think that's the joy that I get out of going in prison fellowship.
Mm.
What has been the biggest need that you've seen amongst the prisoner population? Like, what is the one thing you say guys pull on you a lot? What is that pull that you feel the most from people who are incarcerated?
I think just the need for just I'm not going to say uncertainty, but everybody's always overwhelmed about when they get out. You know, mm-hmm. and so I think the biggest need is just really just people just to come alongside them. Yes, we have programs to help people when they get out and stuff like that. But I think the biggest need is for people to be placed in a proper, first of all, the relationship with the Lord in a proper church setting and spiritual setting, because a lot of them come out, they're just hungry, whatever, and they get into the wrong churches, and they never blossom, they never grow, they never do what they're supposed to do, and they actually come out of prison and go into bondage.
Wow.
And so I think the biggest need is for people to really be strategically set where they're supposed to be in their spiritual walk, and the proper people in their place in there. And that's what I'm hoping that the Lord can lead me towards, you know, and others, you know.
Wow. I think there's a reason why the Lord makes it a point to say, I was in prison, you didn't visit me. I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was naked, you didn't clothe me.
Yeah.
Right. And he particularly hits those three areas, those areas, and says, man, well, so if he put a specific emphasis on making sure that we visit those in prison, then if Jesus mentioned it, it's probably important. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just going to make an assumption. And so I think you've given us a lot to think about, Mike, about just your own testimony and then what you've done since you've been out. So thank you. Thank you for serving people in that population.
I would say one thing is, you know, God has written that on your heart with your journey, that you have a compassion. You've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what it's like to have that bar in front of your face.
Mm-hmm.
And so you automatically have that compassion then to go back. And that to me is great, because you could easily say, no, I don't want to have anything to do with that. But the Lord is, that's just God to me. It's just when I hear your testimony of how God just keeps writing this incredible journey, this incredible book in your life. Mm. And I am just very thankful. I haven't said a whole lot just because I'm like, really?
Wow.
You know? So, yeah, it's more of a wow.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
Amen.
This is fun to hear.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing your story with us over these two broadcasts.
Thank you guys,
we
man.
Really do appreciate it. Kevin, any other announcements just about us and what's going on and any reminders?
I think some reminders is, if you could possibly go to His Stories Broadcast. We do have it does take a certain amount of money to operate the show. And to hear people's testimonies and the evidence that God and what he's doing in the kingdom and how he is just exploding, I think, across this nation. And so we would love to be able to share these even in a greater capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way to do that, I think the easiest way is go to His Stories Broadcast. There is a donate button. That's very simple. You can hit that. The other is just simply like us on Facebook.
Yeah. Please like us.
Yeah. we like that. It helps our confidence.
Yeah.
And,
makes us feel good.
Self-esteem.
That's right. Yeah. Self-esteem. And so you go to His Stories broadcast on Facebook as well.
Yeah.
But we do have all of our archives, and particularly with the radio program, His Stories Podcast, HisStoriesPodcast.com. So you can easily get that as well.
So, amen. So thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Maybe I'll close in prayer.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Cool. All right. Well, Father, we thank you for hearing Mike's story, Lord. We simply set up this platform, as we've said in many occasions, to make you famous. And so, Lord, we don't do this for fame. We don't do it for any reason but to point people to you, so that people can see our good works and glorify our God, which is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, thank you for Mike. Thank you for his story. Thank you for his willingness to share his heart, to allow us to peek into his life, so that you might get glory. And we thank you, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You make us strong. Alone without you.
Thank you for listening to His Stories Broadcast. We hope that you take a moment to look at us online for more encouraging stories of God transforming lives. We would also like to hear your stories, so drop us a line at HisStoriesBroadcast.com. That's HisStoriesBroadcast.com to add your part to the story God is telling.